Take your Bible and turn to Mark chapter 13, if you would. Mark chapter 13. And look at verse 31 when you get to Mark chapter 13. It says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but," now notice these next two words, "but my words," this is Jesus speaking, "but my words shall not pass away." Now, let me ask you this question to begin with this morning, just a show of hands. How many people in this room have ever been helped by the words of Jesus? Anybody? Why, sure we have. You know, you just think about it a little bit. Think about, for instance, the number of times that preachers have used John 14, 1-3 to comfort those who've lost a loved one to death. You know, Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Those are great words of comfort from Jesus himself. Or think of the heartbroken who've been helped by the words of Jesus in John 14, 18, when he says, "I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you." Or think of the untold multitudes who have found salvation in the words of Jesus from John 3, 16, when he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And how many weary souls have found rest in the words of Jesus from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." To the spiritually hungry, the words of Jesus are the bread of life. To the spiritually thirsty, the words of Jesus are the living water. To the bereaved, his words speak of the resurrection and the life. And to the wanderer, Jesus says, "I am the way." And so this morning, I want to preach on the subject, the words of Jesus. The words of Jesus. And let's pray before we do. Father, thank you for the word of God and for another opportunity to look into its pages. Guide us and direct us in this message through the work of your Holy Spirit. I pray everybody will receive something that will be of great benefit and great help in their walk with you. And then, Lord, we do pray for Steve's friend, Rebecca, that's going through some testing for possible cancer. Lord, you know we're already if it's cancer. And so we commit her to you for a special touch from you, and guide and direct the doctors and those that will be doing testing. And Lord, we pray that you'd help her through this. But again, thank you for this opportunity to gather in your name to look into your word. Help us to understand the lesson today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the first thing that I want us to consider this morning as we talk about the subject of the words of Jesus are his first words. His first words. You know, often when children are born, each parent attempts to get the child to say mama or dada. You know, we long to hear our child's first words. Well, you know, Jesus had first words. Now, we don't know what his first words were as a toddler, but we do have the first words he spoke in his earthly ministry. And I want to begin by considering those. And since we've already in Mark here, let's start with the Gospel of Mark. His first words in the Gospel of Mark are Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, where he says, Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom and saying. So here's the first words of Jesus recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Now think about those first words. The time's fulfilled, kingdom of God's at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Remember, Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And his very first words, as recorded in the Gospel of Mark, are directed right to them. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That was the most important message Jesus could preach. And in case you don't realize it, it is the most important message that we can preach to the world as well. To repent and believe the gospel. And so his first words here in the Gospel of Mark challenges us. They challenge us to get out there and tell people that message. Now, his first words in the Gospel of Matthew. His first words in the Gospel of Matthew are found in Matthew 3, 13 through 15. And it says this. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, so here's his first words now in the Gospel of Matthew, suffer it or allow it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Jesus had come to John the Baptist to be baptized by him. Why? He says here, to fulfill all righteousness. That means he came to John to be baptized because it was the right thing to do. And of course, this would set the pattern for all believers who follow Jesus. After their salvation, after they've received Christ as their Savior, they are to be baptized. Jesus said, baptize me, and that should be our request once we come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Baptism is an initial step of obedience to God once we become a Christian. So his first words in Matthew remind us of that. And then his first words in the Gospel of Luke, what are they? Luke chapter 2, verse 49. It says, he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Jesus' first words in Luke are in a question to his parents. Jesus, at age 12, had gone to the temple with Joseph and his mother Mary, and they left to go home, but Jesus stayed behind at the temple, talking to the doctors, talking to the religious leaders. And after realizing that Jesus was not with them and that he was not traveling with any other family members in the caravan, they returned to Jerusalem to go back and get him. And it took them 3 days to finally find Jesus in the temple. In chapter 2 of Luke, verse 38, his mother says this, why hast thou dealt thus with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. But Jesus' answer to her was these words, Luke 2, 49, wist ye not, or don't ye know, I must be about my Father's business. Jesus was on a mission from God the Father, and his purpose in living was to fulfill that mission. And by the way, if you are a Christian, you're on a mission from God as well. You're on a mission from God as well. And the question is, are you fulfilling his purpose for your life, or are you just doing your own thing and wasting your life on things of no eternal value? We're confronted with that thought by the first words of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. And then let me give you the first words of Jesus in the Gospel of John. In John chapter 1, verse 38, it says, Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? But notice those first words of Jesus in the Gospel of John. What seek ye? What seek ye? These words are also words to lost sinners. Who are you looking for to save you? What seek ye? Now, thankfully, they were seeking him, right? They were looking to the right one. And you need to do that as well. You need to seek him if you've never done so before. You need to call out to Christ and invite him into your heart and life to be your Savior and Lord. You need to seek him. And I guarantee you this, when you seek him, you will find him. You will find him. And so these are the first words of Jesus recorded in each one of the Gospels. And in each case, they give us a very, very important lesson. Very important teachings in the first words of Jesus' earthly ministry. Now, let's change directions here. I want us to look next at his last words. We've looked at his first words in the Gospel. Let's look at his last words. In Matthew, his last words are these, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So he tells the apostles and he tells us, go and teach all the nations about me. And then along these same lines, in Mark's gospel, his last words, Mark 16, 15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And again, he tells us to go and preach the gospel. Now, he spoke those words to the apostles. But guess what? The apostles aren't here anymore. And so now the job falls to us. It now becomes our responsibility to reach the world with the good news of Jesus. And that's what that Be the Light thing is all about. Being the light for Jesus wherever we go. That's our theme for this year. It ought to be the theme of our entire life. To be a light for Jesus. But As we attempt to be the light for him, we also need to understand that we will never be effective at that if we try to do it in our own strength and using our own wisdom. And Jesus' last words in the Gospel of Luke remind us of that. I want you to see these, though. Turn to Luke chapter 24, if you would. Okay, beginning in verse 46. Luke 24. "And said unto them," this is Jesus speaking, "and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." You know what that is? That's the gospel. Right? The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then verse 47 is the application of the gospel. "And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Verse 48, "And ye are witnesses of these things." They were witnesses to the lost. We're supposed to be witnesses to the lost. But look at the next verse. "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And so he tells them, witness to the lost, but before you do, wait for the power of the Holy Spirit to come. Well, that power came in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit came down and filled them and indwelled them. And now that Holy Spirit is here and he's here for us to rely upon as well. And we must do that. We must rely upon the Holy Spirit if we are going to be effective witnesses for him. We don't have to wait for the Holy Spirit. He's here now. But we must rely upon him if we're going to be effective witnesses for him. And so the question that comes out of that is, are you relying on the Holy Spirit in your witnessing? Are you letting him lead you? Are you letting him open the doors? Are you letting him bring people across your path to witness to? And are you allowing him and relying upon him to open your mouth to say the right words? Are you leaning upon the work of the Holy Spirit in your witnessing efforts? That's what Luke is reminding of, what Jesus is reminding us of in his last words in the Gospel of Luke. And then, of course, let's finish up this section by talking about his words from the Gospel of John, his final words. In John 21, verse 19, it says, "This spake he, signifying what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken, he saith unto him, Follow me." His last words in the Gospel of John are, "Follow me." And, of course, the question is, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you trusting him as your Savior? Are you telling others about him? Are you relying on the power of the Holy Spirit as you attempt to be a light and be a witness to others? That's the challenge that comes to us from the last words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we've looked at his first words in his earthly ministry. We've looked at his last words in his earthly ministry. But third, I want you to consider his next words. His next words. What do you think Jesus will say next to the church? Well, those words are in the scripture if you know where to find them. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, it says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." So his next words will be a shout, a shout. And so what will that shout be? What's it going to be? Well, it's recorded in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, where it says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking to me." So you have the voice and the trumpet, just like 1 Thessalonians 4. And what does that voice say? It says, "The first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither." And those are going to be the next words spoken by Jesus in this world. When the Lord Jesus comes for his church to take us out of the world, he'll stop in the clouds and he'll call out to the bride and say, "Get up here! Come up hither." Those are going to be his next words heard in this world. And we need to be ready to hear those words, because we could hear those words any day now. Now, I'm no date setter, you know that. I don't believe we know the day and the hour. I don't believe in setting dates for the return of Christ. But can I just be honest with you? As I look at all the craziness that's going on in this world right now, I believe we are closer to Jesus' return than we realize. And the Bible says we don't know the day or the hour, but it does also say we're not supposed to be ignorant of the times and seasons either. I believe we're closer than we realize, and we need to be ready. How do you get ready? Well, let me tell you this. If you're not saved, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you can't even begin to get ready. You can't even begin to get ready, right? You've got to come to Christ first. And if you've never done so, this morning, open up your heart and invite him in to wash your sins away and give you eternal life and be your Savior. That's your greatest need, because you can't even begin to get ready for his return until you've taken that step of faith. But if you have done that, if you are a Christian, how do you get ready for his return? Well, you get ready by walking close to Christ, by living according to the principles and precepts of his word, and by laboring out in the field for him. That's how you get ready. You know what? We need to take the advice of the Apostle John in 1 John 2:28. He says, "And now, little children," so he's writing to Christians when he says, "Little children, now little children, abide in him." That is, live close to him. Do what he wants you to do. Be what he wants you to be. Say what he wants you to say. Go where he wants you to go. Abide in him, that when he shall appear, we shall have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. We need to get ready to hear those words, come up hither. Because they're the next words that Jesus is going to speak in this world. Now, two more things and we'll finish up here. The fourth thing is this. What are his present words to the world? What do you think would be Jesus' words to the world today? I believe that he would quote Matthew 11:28 to them. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He might even use his words from John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Or maybe he'd tell them John 3:7, ye must be born again. Or he might use something from John chapter 3, like verse, we're all familiar with verse 16. How about verse 18? It says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Or he might use John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. See, his words to the world right now are words of salvation, and how salvation is free to all. Any who come for salvation, who come for forgiveness, who come for eternal life through Jesus Christ will be saved. And so the question is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today? I hope you do. But if you don't, then I challenge you this morning to call out to Christ and receive him as your Savior. You see, he's calling out to you, and he stands before you with arms of invitation, saying, come unto me. You know the word come is the very last invitation in the Bible. In Revelation 22:17, the very last invitation given in the Bible. It says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. And so the truth of the word of God is, whosoever will may come to Christ for eternal salvation. So his present words to the world are words of salvation. But then finally this morning, what are his words for us as believers? I believe the most important words for believers today are Revelation chapter 21 and verse 20, which says this. He which testifieth these things, talking about Jesus, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Now, when he says, I come quickly, what that means is, I'm coming soon. And that, of course, is our blessed hope. Our blessed hope. When Betty played the offering this morning, she played, what a day, glorious day that will be. That is our blessed hope. The fact that he's coming soon. You know, when things of life seem so difficult, Jesus says, hang on, I'm coming soon. When all around you there's turmoil, Jesus says, hang in there, I'm coming soon. When you feel like you're all alone and you're about to give up, Jesus says, hang in there, I'm coming soon. Like the old hymn says, some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles all won. He'll shout the victory and break through the blue. Some golden daybreak for me and for you. And you know, we can endure anything this life throws at us when we remember that Jesus has something so much better for us waiting on the other side. And no matter what we go through in this life, it will be worth it all when we get home. That's his words to us. Remember, I'm coming soon. I'm coming soon. Now let me just close with this and we'll be done. One Sunday evening, this was many years ago now, probably maybe 34, 35 years ago, when I was pastoring over in Bellingham, I left my home to go to church for the evening service. And when I got there, no one showed up for the Sunday evening service because the weather was so bad. It was a big storm. It was a mess. And nobody showed up. Now, I say nobody showed up. That is, except for a little 8-year-old boy who lived across the street. His parents didn't come to church, but they would allow him to come to Sunday school. And he saw me pull in, saw me turn the lights on at church, and he asked his mom if he could come over and see me. So she said yes. She bundled him up and sent him out across the street to go see the pastor. And so he and I were sitting in the church, and we waited until about 7:20. And I told the boy, you know, we might as well go home. The storm has kept everybody from coming to church. And I'll never forget this. He looked up at me and he said, "But Pastor, I'm here." And God convicted my heart. That little boy wanted church. And so we were going to have church. And so he sat right in the front row. And I stood in the pulpit and preached a little message to him. We sang some hymns. And just to kind of be funny, I did what I often do. I gave an invitation for anyone to come to Christ. And that night, that little boy, the only one present with me, gave his heart and life to the Savior. And I often think to myself, what if I had canceled that service and sent that little boy home? He might still be lost. But God showed us his power and his grace that night. And for the first and last time in all my years of ministry, in that service, 100% of my congregation came to Christ for salvation all at one time. And the good news is this. You can come to him today as well. He wants to save you from your sin. As a matter of fact, he wants to save you from your sin more than you could ever want to be saved. And so won't you come to him right now? Won't you call out to him and invite Christ in? Won't you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? He's waiting with arms wide open, arms of invitation, arms of love. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God and for the opportunity to look into its pages and learn more about our wonderful Savior and his wonderful words. I pray that this morning you would continue to speak to our heart, because, Lord, we've seen lots of different lessons. Lessons about letting you lead us through the work of your Holy Spirit. Lessons about being a witness for you. Lessons about living by your word and laboring in the field. So many different lessons as we look at the words of our Savior. And so, Lord, I pray that maybe something in this message has spoken to every different person in this room. And then I especially pray for anybody in this room who doesn't know Jesus in a personal way. They've never called out to him and invited him in. I pray that today would be that very day. Now, if I could just have every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment. If you've never received Jesus as your Savior, I want to help you. I'm going to lead you in a word of invitation, a prayer of invitation, a prayer of receiving Christ as your Savior. And if you've never invited him, please feel free to pray right along with me to invite him in to be your Savior. Now, keep in mind, though, it's not that becoming Christian is not just a matter of repeating a few words after the preacher. You got to believe what you're praying. It's faith that makes all the difference. This is not some mystical, magical formula. You got to believe what you're praying. And you don't even have to pray the words out loud, because the Bible says Jesus knows your thoughts afar off. He knows your thoughts. He knows what's in your heart. But if you'd like to pray along with me, please feel free. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, but I believe the gospel. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose again so I could have eternal life. Please come into my heart and be my Savior. Forgive my sins, give me eternal life and a home in heaven. I now trust you and you alone for the salvation of my soul. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for coming into my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer this morning, would you please do me a favor and let me know before you leave this morning? If you prayed to receive Christ as your Savior, you called out to him this morning for the first time, please let me know, because I want to shake your hand. And I want to be the first to welcome you to the family of God. And I want to give you a word of encouragement in your newfound walk with the Savior. So make sure you'll let me know before you leave this morning.